of assessed value.
Everyone.
And if I said that, I should have said, right now I don't think we can do it. But if we could, be all for it.
Good afternoon. We'll come back to order, please. Would you please call the roll?
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Fritz. Fish.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Welcome, everyone. We have a single item remaining this afternoon, and I'll have Carla read it in a moment, but I want to welcome you to this hearing. If you're here to speak, we will have a sign-up sheet, so please let our council clerk know if you'd like to speak. If you're here to speak on this issue, you need to give us only your name. You don't need to give addresses and such unless you're a registered lobbyist representing an organization. We maintain the rules of politeness here in this chamber, so if you agree with someone and want to validate their point of view, feel free to give them a thumbs up. If you don't agree with someone and want to disagree with their point of view, give them a polite hand gesture to the contrary, but we ask that we not make vocal demonstrations in favor or against our fellow citizens' points of view here so they can all be heard. So with that simple ground rule, please, let's hear item 987.
Add fossil fuel companies to the City of Portland's corporate securities do not buy list.
Welcome. I want to call up Zach Klonoski and our treasurer, Jennifer Cooperman, and shortly I will call up our county chair, Deborah Cafori, who I very much appreciate being here. Just a few comments from me as we get started. This is quite a day for the climate here in Portland. In the course of this day, we've listened to Pope Francis address a joint session of Congress and talk about his encyclical about care of the earth and care for people. We've seen the first Portland bike share bike with the council there to celebrate that moment. And now we're here to talk about the very concept that Pope Francis spoke about this morning, responsible capitalism. How do we invest public dollars in a way that is both socially and environmentally responsible while still being true to our fiduciary responsibility to take good care of our citizens' money? And that's what we're about here with this resolution. We'll have our staff, Zach Klonoski from my office and Jennifer Cooperman, present this here momentarily. But before they do that, I just want to thank 350.org and 350pdx.org and countless other organizations who've been advocating for this and have been patiently waiting for their public agencies, first Multnomah County this morning and this afternoon the City of Portland, to put our values into policy. So I appreciate that advocacy. I suspect we may hear a little more of it this afternoon, but thank you for coming to do that. And with that, let me ask Zach and Jennifer to walk us through the resolution.
Good afternoon. Mayor Hales, members of the City Council, for the record, my name is Zach Klonoski. I work for our city in the mayor's office.
Zach, is this your first official appearance before council?
This is my first official appearance.
I think we should acknowledge that.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. I am honored to bring forward Mayor Hales' resolution, which, if enacted, will add the top 200 publicly traded coal, oil, and gas companies, ranked by the amount of CO2 each currently holds in their proven fossil fuel reserves, to the city's corporate securities do not buy list, effectively disinvesting the city from fossil fuels. In Portland's 2015 Climate Action Plan, the city pledged to establish a divestment policy by 2020. This resolution makes good on that commitment. Now, the divestment movement began with 350.org founder and renowned climate scientist Bill McKibben, who I'm thrilled to say will appear via video during today's hearing. Now, I originally planned to go into great detail about the science behind climate change, but I think we can all agree that the science is settled. Climate change is here, and it is already having devastating effects on our city and state. From this summer's devastating wildfires that filled the Portland air with thick black smoke, to the unprecedented warm water temperatures in the Columbia River and its tributaries that led to massive salmon die-offs numbering in the hundreds of thousands, to the record-breaking summer days where we all sweated and temperatures soaring above 90 degrees. Indeed, the things that define our state are now threatened. From our pristine air and water, to our beautiful snow-peaked mountains, from our lush, seemingly endless forests, to the salmon that swim in our rivers and have sustained the people of this region since time immemorial, it is clear that the Oregon way of life, our way of life, is in jeopardy due to climate change. Now, I promised not to get bogged down in the science of climate change, but I do want to leave you today with one scientific fact. At the current rate of fossil fuel burning, we will surpass the Earth's carbon budget. The carbon budget is the amount of CO2 scientists say we can safely emit and still have a good chance of staving off runaway climate change. We will surpass that budget in approximately 15 years before a baby born today would be eligible to get their first driver's license or go to their prom. And that's why we are all gathered here today. Simple facts and observed realities have allowed humanity to put fossil fuel companies' core business model on trial, arguing that those companies have become rogue actors whose continued record profits rely on radical climate destabilization. Any institution claiming to serve the public interest has a moral responsibility to liberate itself from these contemptible profits, profits made at the expense of our communities, of the planet's future. In her recent book on climate change, This Changes Everything, Naomi Klein captured the spirit and practical effect of the divestment movement when she wrote, "The divestment movement is not meant to bankrupt fossil fuel companies. Rather, it is meant to chip away at the social license with which these companies operate. It is socially and morally unacceptable to be financing fossil fuel extraction." By passing this resolution today, we are joining a growing chorus of men and women, scientists and citizens, governments, universities, faith-based groups, and institutions from around the world that are standing up to fossil fuel companies and saying that your fundamental model of extracting and burning carbon is creating an uninhabitable planet. You must stop. You need a new business model. Just yesterday, Pope Francis said at the White House, "It seems clear to me that climate change is a problem which can no longer be left to a future generation. When it comes to the care of our common home, we are living at a critical moment of history." And the world is rising to this moment. As of 2 days ago, it was announced that investors representing $2.6 trillion in assets have pledged to cut fossil fuels from their portfolios. That is a 50-fold increase from the $52 billion that had been pledged at this time last year. Let's live up to this moment and add Portland's portfolio to the list.
Thank you very much.
Unless you have any questions for me or for Treasurer Cooperman, I'd like to turn it over to invited testimony.
Actually, Zach, I do have one question, which is I noticed that there is one company on the list that has a significant local presence, and I was just wondering if we talked to them about this, Evraz.
I believe we reached out to Evraz, and we let them know that they are on the list.
Okay. This seems like that's a reasonable courtesy.
Yes.
It is.
It is. Thank you.
So, Ms. Cooperman, a simple question for me. We are unusual as a city in that we have had for a very long time a AAA bond rating by Moody's and other investors' rating services. Do you see any threat to Portland's bond rating or the health of our fiscal balance sheet if we do this?
No, I do not.
Thank you very much. Any other questions for our staff? Thank you both. So I'm now very pleased to ask Chair Kafoury to come forward. The county board acted on this same policy issue earlier today under her leadership, and I'm very happy to have you here this afternoon.
Thank you. And as it seems like I'm a frequent visitor to your building, I'm wondering when I can get my own office.
It's only reasonable.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Deborah Kafoury. I'm Multnomah County Chair. I very much appreciate the strong partnership that Multnomah County has with the City of Portland in addressing one of the most challenging issues of our time, the threat of climate change. Portland is a recognized leader on this issue, and today you have an opportunity before you to continue that leadership. We were honored this morning to have the mayor join the county board to support our adoption of a fossil fuel divestment policy, similar to a resolution that is before you this afternoon. Together, we are sending a clear message that with these policies, that we must accelerate the transition from fossil fuels to a future of clean, renewable energy. The era of fossil fuels is ending, and we are backing up those words with action. Where we invest our dollars is a reflection of our values, and investments in fossil fuels conflict with our sustainability values and our mission to protect the most vulnerable in our community. We know that the burning of fossil fuels pollutes our air, water, and land, the building blocks of life, and a crucial part of our identity as Oregonians. Even more concerning, the burning of fossil fuels is the primary cause of global climate change. For Multnomah County, this means we are now facing hotter summers that will increase the risk of heat stroke and respiratory disease, and warmer winters that will lead to an increased risk from vector-borne diseases like the West Nile virus. And these aren't far-off impacts. This past summer was a postcard from the future. We had 29 days with temperatures over 90 degrees, which is a record for Portland. We opened our cooling shelters more frequently in response to make sure that seniors and people with pre-existing medical conditions could get out of the heat. Pollution and climate change are fundamentally environmental justice issues. The impacts fall hardest on those who are already struggling with some serious health and socioeconomic inequalities that exist in our community. These are many of the same people that Multnomah County already serves: older adults, our homeless population, people of color, and low-income community members. This is true all across the country, where low-income people and people of color often face the worst exposure to the negative impacts of fossil fuels. It is for these reasons that the county supports fossil fuel divestment, and we encourage the members of the City Council to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Let's suspend the rules and thank our chair.
Mayor, I just got a text from Fred Miller. He did find the chair a very attractive office in our building. Where to send the rent bill?
Thank you very much. Okay, we have some invited testimony I'd like to bring up now. Sandy Polishuk from 350.org, Colin Price from Oregon Environmental Council, and Ashley Henry. Come on up. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Sandy, I think you're on first.
Mr. Mayor and Council, my name is Sandy Polishuk. It's with great pleasure that I speak to you today as we in 350 PDX celebrate this landmark. Mr. Mayor, from the moment we heard you come out for divestment on June 5th, 2013, World Environment Day press conference, since you shook Bill McKibben's hand over this idea the next month, since we met the same summer with your fellow council members and secured their support, we've been waiting for a vote. So thank you for bringing us here today. Climate scientists tell us we must keep 80% of fossil fuel reserves in the ground if we are to maintain a livable climate, which is why the divestment movement's ask is no more investments in the Carbon Tracker 200 companies, those fossil fuel companies with the largest reserves. These companies continue to search for more reserves. Shell is pursuing extreme drilling in the highly risky Arctic as we speak. Exxon is spending $90 million a day exploring for new carbon reserves at a time we can't afford to burn most of the reserves they already have. These companies' balance sheets are based on their reserves. They are resources which will become stranded assets when global policy catches up with science. At times, our campaign has been frustrated. While we waited for the mayor to turn his pledge into action, the city added fossil fuel companies on the Carbon Tracker 200 list to its portfolio. $61 million in bonds in Chevron and ExxonMobil. Because of these new investments, the city will not be divested until March of 2018, instead of this coming June. Back in 2013, we proposed a straight divestment resolution. Although we welcome the addition of Carbon Tracker 200 to your Do Not Buy list, it's important to point out that this puts the most destructive industry in human history up for review again next year. So while we're excited that the current resolution is finally before you for a vote, we're still going to urge you to go further and pass a permanent resolution, just as the county did this morning. Thank you for your forward-thinking choice for our city. Your decision to no longer invest in these companies will not only be consistent with the climate planning you've been doing, putting our money in line with our values, but a wise financial one as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job. Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is Colin Price. I'm the Director of Market Innovation with Oregon Environmental Council. Oregon Environmental Council is here to testify in support of this resolution that would add the 100 largest coal companies and the 100 largest oil and natural gas companies to the City of Portland's corporate securities do not buy list. In making the move to no longer buy securities from the largest oil and gas producers, Portland is taking action like other Oregon cities, including Ashland, Corvallis, and Eugene, who all voted to divest from fossil fuels in 2014. Oregon Environmental Council believes that changing the targets of our city's investments, combined with a full and robust implementation of our city's climate action plan, will help the City of Portland to better align itself with the values of its residents while setting an example that other cities and institutions can follow. We also believe it's important for the City of Portland to make sound fiduciary decisions. It's time for Portland to disentangle itself from the industries chiefly responsible for the climate crisis that threatens the health and well-being of our people, our businesses, and our ecosystems. Oregon Environmental Council's own experience shows that a fully divested portfolio can provide rates of return that are in line with market performance. Earlier this year, OEC made the decision to divest our entire endowment portfolio. OEC moved our endowment funds to a portfolio that reflects our values and our commitment to clean water, a healthy climate, and an unpolluted landscape, as well as our commitment to long-term financial sustainability. 1 year later, our experience shows that it is possible to make principled investment decisions without sacrificing returns or taking on additional risk. I'd like to thank Council for support of this resolution, and I'd also like to thank 350 PDX and our other partners for moving this forward.
Thank you very much. Ms. Henry, welcome.
Hi, my name's Ashley Henry. I'm here today as someone who served on the temporary socially responsible investment committee last year. And I'm really pleased that this conversation has advanced to the point that it has, so that you're actually evaluating putting these companies on the do not buy list, which was something that we didn't as a committee have the opportunity to propose. So thank you very much for this opportunity. When I was asked to serve on the committee, I was at the time an employee of a nonprofit organization that advocates on climate and clean energy policy called Climate Solutions. And I've gone on to work in the financial industry, and I'm pleased to say that one of the areas in which our company is active is in the development of renewable energy, which is a growing economic opportunity globally and certainly in the state of Oregon. And of course, we've already spoken about how climate change is one of the great moral issues of our day. I certainly don't need to emphasize that anymore, but one of the things that I am so glad that Chair Kefouri pointed out is the human impacts and the impacts that climate change is already having on our most vulnerable citizens in Multnomah County. So I'm really grateful that that part of the conversation is very vibrant, because this is not just about polar bears. This is about human lives in our own communities. And you taking action on this is an expression of your commitment to the diverse communities that we have here. I know that historically there have been some questions around whether or not our investment policies as a city should be politicized. And I would argue that if you were to continue investing in fossil fuels, that in and of itself would also be a political act. The question is not whether to stop investing in fossil fuels, but whether we are complicit in a global disaster that is ongoing. We certainly recognize that those who manage the city's investments have a fiduciary duty to maximize returns. And yet there are significant questions about whether it is lucrative in the long run on a risk-adjusted basis to remain invested in fossil fuels, with the risk that massive assets could become and remain stranded. So, of course, you as elected officials have a duty to serve the best interest of your constituents. And thank you for bringing me here today.
Thanks for your advocacy and help. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Okay, let's take the next three, please. Let's see, we have Christy Split, Mia Rebeck, and Mr. McKibben via video. So we'll take the people who are here in person first, and then we'll see if the technology will support the conversation.
going ahead of Bill McKibben.
How's that feel?
Thank you, Portland City Council, and thank you, Mayor Hales, for inviting me here today. My name is Mia Reback, and I work with 350PDX, the local chapter of 350.org. I want to start my testimony for commending the City of Portland for adding the Carbon Tracker 200 to the Do Not Buy list. This is a good first step to remove ourselves from the global fossil fuel economy. Today's resolution has potential to do more than just stop the city from investing in coal, oil, and gas. We hope that today's actions at both the city and the county will help inspire colleges and universities in Portland, like Portland State University, Lewis and Clark, and my alma mater, Reed College, all of which have student-led divest campaigns. Climate change is one of the biggest threats of our times, and it's one of my priorities as a young woman to make sure we in Portland are not complicit in escalating the crisis. From unprecedented heat waves to wildfires and salmon die-offs, the effects of climate change are starting to be more noticeable here in Oregon, and I'm terrified. We're lucky in Portland to have a grassroots community dedicated to addressing climate change and elected officials who talk about taking immediate action to reduce our collective contribution to climate change while also increasing things we need more of, like public transit and renewable energy. Today's resolution signifies that we must do more than just reduce our carbon emissions at home. In addition to our financial resources, we must look at our physical resources, like our industrial land and our port terminals, and start the process of removing those from fossil fuel uses. As a city, we must focus our resources and instead invest in local living wage jobs in the renewable energy and clean technology sectors, as well as in sustainable agriculture. We at 350PDX look forward to continuing to work with the City of Portland on implementing actions in the Climate Action Plan while we build a strong and resilient grassroots climate movement. Thank you all.
Thank you. Christy, welcome.
Thank you very much. Mayor Hales, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Christy Split, and I'm here today representing the Oregon League of Conservation Voters and the thousands of OLCV members that live here in the City of Portland. We support the resolution before you today for all the reasons that you've already heard, but we also think it makes it really clear. Portland will stop investing in the Carbon Tracker 200, some of the worst polluters in the world. Bottom line, that's a good thing. We also want to thank you for your continued leadership on addressing climate change here in the City of Portland. I work in the state legislature for the most part, and you set an example for the rest of the state. I hope you'll continue to do that. I also want to give a big thank you to 350PDX and 350.org for their leadership on divestment and echo their call for a permanent resolution as well as investment, not just divestment, but investment in the sort of future economy that Portland needs to be a center of. Finally, we look forward to working with 350 and with the council on ongoing local and statewide action to address climate change.
Thank you. Thank you both. So I think we now can play the video. If Zach can make that magic happen, probably with Carla's help. It takes a village to operate our video system, so give us a moment. Thank you for that. Thanks very much.
I wish I was there in the most beautiful city in the country. I'm very grateful for this resolution around divestment. It plays an important part, one part, but an important part in this ongoing fight against climate change. Y'all there in the rapidly changing shadow of Mount Hood, with the smoke from this summer's horrendous fires still in the air, you have a better sense than people in many places of just how fast this crisis is breaking upon us and the fact that therefore we need to do everything we can do to slow it down. One key part is what you're about with this resolution. To begin the process of breaking the political power of this industry, of making it impossible for them to any longer stand in the way of sensible climate policy. we've known for a very long time the kinds of things that we would need to do to deal with climate change, a price on carbon, say. But we haven't been able to do them because the power of this industry is too strong. This step is one powerful way to show solidarity with the victims of climate change, particularly the poorest and most vulnerable people around this country and around the world. We're so grateful that you're engaging in it, and we look forward to welcoming you to the likes of Stanford and CalPERS and CalSTRS and Oxford and the Prince of Wales and the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund and the Anglican Church and the United Church of Christ and the Unitarians and everybody else who has stepped up to the plate. Thank you very, very much.
Nice. Great, thank you, Zach. And let's take public testimony from any who've signed up, please.
We have 10 people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Terry Parker, Joe Walsh, and Lightning Watchdog X, and they'll be followed by Lori King, Steve Entwistler, and Charles Johnson.
Mr. Parker, I think you're first.
Thank you. My name's Terry Parker. I'm a fourth-generation Portlander. I forgot my hat today, but I'm wearing it. Is this no-buy policy just more social engineering that's going to shortchange and cost Portland taxpayers? The question has relevancy because due to social engineering, Portland has become a city of shortages, double standards, and inequitable taxation. A shortage of parking has proliferated because the city does not require developers to provide adequate off-street parking with new development. This pits neighbors against neighbors. Drivers looking for scarce parking places are forced to consume more of the fuel the city wants to divest from. Now the city wants to charge drivers for parking on the streets for which they already pay for with gas tax revenues, ironically for a problem city policy helped create. This price tag for social engineering is unacceptable. Likewise, the city is creating a shortage of road capacity that is increasing congestion. The road diet plan for Foster Road will escalate combined engine running and idle times by a whopping 1,180 hours daily. Add in other examples such as the road diet on Gleason and the mess Peabot made of Division Street, and once again, through social engineering, the city is significantly increasing public consumption of the disinvestment product. Then there is the Robin Hood approach to funding bicycle and transit infrastructure, which is one reason why there is a shortage of funds for maintaining city streets and roads. In contrast, taxpayer equity would require all transport modes, the users of all transport modes, to proportionately pay for the petroleum-laden asphalt they utilize and specifically reserve. This includes bus riders paying for roadways and bicyclists exclusively paying for the $800 million to accommodate bicycling in the Portland TSP. Any disinvestment in fossil fuel companies must also be coupled with a disinvestment of city government flaunting the use of those same fuels. This must include eliminating the entire city fleet of automobiles and replacing travel for public servants with the 3Bs, backpacks, bicycles, and bus passes. By the same token, individual airline miles traveled have a similar carbon footprint driving a modern fuel-efficient car the same distance. Two round trips to Washington, D.C., or one round trip to Europe have about the same carbon footprint as an average motorist who drives 10 to 12,000 miles per year. Since airline travel is fossil fuel intensive, any no-buy policy must be accompanied with a no-fly policy for public officials. It's called walking the talk. Finally, the numbers of two-legged feet have a direct impact on any human-related carbon footprint. If making a statement is so vital that you adopt this fossil fuel disinvestment policy, you also need to end your silence and confront the elephant in the room, that elephant being population growth and the negative impact overpopulation has on our environment. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh, I think you're next.
My name is Joe Walsh, and for the record, I represent Individuals for Justice. We fully support this concept. You're about to join 20 other cities, hold your head high, and say, you know, we got to do something. But then I read a little bit more, and it's something I don't understand. All these whereases, I agree with every one of them. They're really powerful statements. But then you get to the bottom and you realize that you are going to let these contracts run out. And has been just been brought up, 2017 for Exxon, 2018 for Mobile. You may not be here, Charlie. Possibility.
Right.
Another council could come in here and just wipe this out. So our suggestion is there's got to be two things that happen today. I know you're not voting on this today. You vote on it next week. But I want you to consider setting up the charter committee and put this in the charter. Because then another council coming in here in 16, 17, 20, 25 cannot overturn your good work. I'm going to trust you on this, which I don't ever do with politicians. But I'm going to trust you because somebody sent me a message and said, okay, Joe, why don't you trust, but just don't be naive about it. That sounded better. It sounded softer. Do the charter and also have this conversation. Why is this city making money off the investments? Why do we have investments? You collect taxes. You distribute services. That's your job. Not bankers. You are not bankers. I know we got a treasury, and we have to deal with that. We have to deal with that office, that bureau. But when you make money, doesn't that cause problems like what you're saying? Is this is a disaster, this carbon investment. But we're not going to do it for two more years because we're going to let the contract run out. And the funny thing is, when I brought them up, you're losing money on them. So why would you hold on to them? Thank you.
Thank you. Good questions. We'll get Ms. Cooperman back up and address those at the end. So it's good points. Go ahead, Lightning.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I do agree with the resolution. One of the issues I do have, though, is that what I don't want to do with these fossil fuel companies is to divest too fast. And the reason why I say that, if I might explain, is that even if you wanted to move over to electric cars, which I'm a Tesla fan, is that we produce 100 million cars a year. We have 2 billion cars out there currently. You can do the math. We don't have the current infrastructure to move along fast enough, even if we tried. And you have to take that in consideration is that the fossil fuel companies, whether we like it or not, have been in business for many years, and they are considered to a lot of people the experts. Now, they have an understanding. They're looking at other, making other choices. But what I don't want to see here is moving too fast and jeopardizing the whole market itself. Now, you're going to tell me that a lot of you who leave this room tonight aren't going to go to certain gas stations and put in fossil fuels in your vehicles. And I think there's a large percentage in here that will. They will continue to do that for many years. We don't have the infrastructure to move fast enough to go all electric at this time. And we need to take that in consideration. And I don't want to see a lot of jobs lost. I don't want to see a real disruption if we don't have to create that disruption, if we phase it in over time. So that's one of my biggest concerns. Now, on this list that we were provided, as you know, the majority of the names on that list aren't AA bond rating anyway. So you put them on that list for a reason, that's fine, but you're not going to be able to invest by state statute in those companies anyway. And again, like I've stated before, I listen more to what Elon Musk has to say about what we're going to do in the future pertaining to climate change. I don't really listen to what the Pope has to say. And I'll listen to Elon Musk any day of the week on what he thinks, how he projects out, and he projects out in the marketplace. It's going to take a long time before we can go to the electric, all solar power. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the funding. So let's work with the fossil fuel companies in a reasonable manner and phase them out over time. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's take the next three folks, please.
Are Lori King, Steve Entwistle Sr., and Charles Johnson. And they'll be followed by Rod Such, Maxine Fuchsen, and Eric Means.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and council members. I'm Lori King, and I'm representing Climate Jobs PDX. We know that Mayor Hales went to the Vatican, heard the Pope, and was inspired by him and his call to mayors to take initiative in dealing with climate change. We're very proud that our mayor was part of this special group. What an auspicious time for this divestment vote to come up in City Council and in Multnomah County just when the Pope is in the United States. Thank you, Mayor Hales, County Commissioner Kafouri, and County Commission for your initiative. We agree with 350.org and what Sandy Polishek said about the need to push this forward with due speed to be a complete divestment. Today, I would like to testify about the other side of the divestment coin, reinvestment. We propose that the city city invest seriously and soon in solar and other alternative energy, weatherization, and energy efficiency companies, ones that pay living wages and have union rights and which employ local people, especially people of color and low-income people. We would like to work with the City Council on helping make this happen. We further propose that our mayor and City Council work with other city governments in Oregon and around the state to put serious pressure on state legislators to pass legislation that will encourage owners of businesses, faith institutions, and individual residences to produce solar and wind power on their roofs, rooftops, or property. Unfortunately, many of the state legislators are not following the Pope's call to massive leadership on this issue, and I think we need our city governments and leaders such as yourselves to work with other city governments around the state to put some heat in the legislature. The best legislation we know of that would help encourage people to produce their own electricity that they would sell back is called feed-in tariffs. This legislation would allow individuals and institutions to sell excess power back to the utilities. This program will dramatically increase the use of alternative energy, as happens in Germany, and in turn will make the companies that the city invests in do well. In order to really take the historic leadership on climate change that is urgently needed, we believe the city will need to invest in more green spaces, parks, community gardens, sustainable transportation options, and more, especially on Portland's east side, where equity calls for such action. And much of this is highlighted in Portland's own climate plan. The revenue for these projects should in part come from new taxes on Portland's upper crust, and on businesses, most likely formula businesses, that do business in the city of Portland. I've heard the idea of taxing homes, a special property tax on homes valued at more than $500,000. Actually, Commissioner Novick was considering that, and he tells me today that might need a change in state law. Well, let's have city governments push for that. We need a fair taxation system that pays for climate jobs. Climate Jobs PDX calls on the City Council to commit to work with the many people who want to see them both invest divested funds in alternative energy, weatherization, and efficiency companies, and to invest in city projects, public projects, done by local union labor that mitigates the climate's effect on our beleaguered planet. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, you're next. Go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioners. And this isn't exactly what we want. It's a step we think we can get. What we wanted were responsible, fully informed elected leaders who wouldn't need to be badgered for 2 years. And in the week that we're here celebrating this partial victory, we wouldn't be struggling to keep carbon-sinking trees alive. We wouldn't have to agitate and put people up in trees. You can't separate the climate and trees. This when we're going around almost allowing the slaughter of 150-year-old sequoias, and then fortunately a deep pockets person saves us from that insanity, and then we have a climate resolution a month after we sent an icebreaker up to pillage the Arctic and commit climate crimes. We need to have more than just this resolution. We need to have you or the future people elected responsibly act about the climate crisis, preventing, taking steps to reduce carbon emissions, to sink more carbon where it belongs and where it shouldn't have been disturbed. Going back to the earlier remarks, though, we do want to thank you for your efforts to undo partially many years of really crappy social engineering biased towards cars. Thanks particularly to the president of this council for showing his restraint when we had our first citizen speaker still speak about the cult of cars. We do appreciate the work of this council to encourage people to use modes of transportation that have lower carbon footprint. But let's not, after we get through these few people who will be expressing their thanks and encouraging us to do better, let's immediately begin to do the work we need to do of shifting our economy and our worldview to reduce carbon emissions, to sink more carbon, and to put people to work in environmentally friendly jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Stephen Entwistle. I also Oregon Healing Man Sanctuary founder and a advocate and a whistleblower for the less fortunate. Right now I'm a polar bear.
And you have company.
I wear the hats and I have my polar bear friends over here. So let's give a hand for the polar bears,
Spirit,
if we can.
Thank you. Welcome.
Now, what we faced over the last 100 years is, like you coined the term earlier this morning, is irresponsible capitalism. That's why we're in the trouble that we're in today. We've lost a lot of a lot of species of animals. We've lost a lot of fish. We've lost a lot of our environment. And we're getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Now, this is a small, in my opinion here, since it's based on the capitalism and such irresponsible, it's like, when are they going to, you're saying you're turning the corner and making it responsible? Well, 560 years, they've never done it, so I don't know if it's going to happen this time. But anyway, we're making a step in the right direction. At least we're thinking about it, talking about it. The testimony today has been incredibly great for the people and for the planet. We need to do a lot more. And the people and the most vulnerable are the animals, the people, and the water systems are all going to be destroyed. It's just a matter of time. I mean, nobody knows when. That's the big question. When is too much? When it's like beyond the point? I think we may have already gone that point. We may already be too late. Who knows? We don't know yet. It's a big mystery. Question marks all over the place. Okay, but we gotta save. We gotta do the right thing. We gotta start doing the right thing and stop chasing after bucko bucks. Okay, no. Too many people are competing for money, and the problem is that it's destroying the planet and it's destroying our humanity. That bonds us, and our fabric, our social fabric, is being destroyed. This is way bigger than just oil. This has to do with greed. This has to do with nasty, dirty, rotten, crony capitalism. And as long as that stays alive, I'm going to be fighting it. I'm going to fight it until it's dead. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all. Okay, have some more folks signed up.
The next three are Rod Such, Maxine Fuchsen, and Eric Means. And then the last two people who signed up are Jenna Garman and Diana Rempe.
Okay, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Rod Such, and I am reading this statement on behalf of the Occupation Free Portland Coalition, This is a coalition of human rights, social justice, peace, and religious organizations, including Jewish Voice for Peace, Americans United for Palestinian Human Rights, Lutherans for Justice in the Holy Land, Veterans for Peace, and numerous other organizations. And we are in support of this resolution for the City of Portland to place the Carbon Tracker 200 on its Do Not Buy list. By all reports, this will be a historic day for Portland and for all those concerned with climate change. We offer our congratulations to you, Mayor Hales, and all the council members who support this resolution and are providing leadership in bringing about its passage. We also applaud the 350 organization and the numerous other environmental groups who were instrumental in inspiring passage of this resolution. The Occupation Free Portland Coalition approaches this issue from a unique perspective. The world's largest oil reserves are found in the Middle East, and more than 25% of the world's oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf. This strategic resource is more than just a contributor to global warming. It is also a key factor in great power rivalries and ambitions that have led to war and instability in that region. It is a terrible irony that wars, the threat of wars, and even the danger of nuclear war has centered around the control of a resource that is literally destroying our planet. These rivalries and ambitions have also played a significant role in denying the Palestinian people their right to self-determination. The denial of fundamental human rights to the Palestinian people is in turn a central source of the political and economic instability that plagues the Middle East. As we celebrate this day, we should not forget that the freedom of an entire people is still unfinished business.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Go ahead. Sorry, folks, we got to go back to the rules. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much for having me. My name is Maxine Fuchsen, and I'm here speaking on behalf of Jewish Voice for Peace Portland. Jewish Voice for Peace is a national human rights group whose mission is equality, justice, and freedom for all. We are here to stand in support of today's divestment vote. May this be the first step towards investing in climate justice for our city. The effects of climate change fall unequally on poor people and communities of color. That must be a concern for all of us. Divestment is a moral, nonviolent action that says we want our dollars to reflect our values. There's a Hebrew phrase, tikkun olam, heal the earth. That must be our shared commitment in standing for justice for all people and for the earth. Thank you so much for this fossil fuel corporate divestment vote.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the chance to be here. My name is Eric Means. I'm a computer engineer for a company in the West Side. I am also a member of the Portland chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby. We are an ally of groups like 350.org. We focus on the federal level to enact, to focus entirely. First of all, we heartily support this resolution, but we also believe that it's largely symbolic. And we're looking for something with teeth, and so we want more from you than just this resolution. What we focus on is enacting at the federal level, a revenue-neutral carbon tax, putting a price on carbon at an initially small but escalating level for 10 years, small, steady, and very predictable. Only when carbon is priced, only when there's a real dollar value, can all the nice things we all hear about will have any teeth in it. But a very important criteria here is that we sit in the middle of a world where both houses of the U.S. Congress are controlled by parties hostile to almost every word spoken here today. A key part of our plan is it's revenue neutral. Every dime that gets collected by this tax is returned to households on a per capita basis. Every dime short of the 0.5% required for collection. We're asking for your leverage, whatever leverage you have at the federal level to support a revenue-neutral carbon tax. It's easy for us to divest. Well, forgive me, it's not terribly easy for your level. But for an isolated city, it's easy to do. But as I said before, we believe it's largely symbolic. When those assets that are in the ground that are form the bulwark of carbon and oil companies' values right now, when those are priced appropriately, thanks to a carbon tax, the political leaders who disinvest will be joined at the exits by people with prudent financial interest. Those companies will not have the financial basis to go on. It takes a carbon tax. It takes, we believe, the practicality. It takes a revenue-neutral carbon tax where the money comes back in individuals' pockets, and that's what we ask for your support in addition to this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Okay, who do we have next?
The last two were Jenna Garman and Diana Rempe.
Okay, come on up.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Jenna Garman, and I'm here representing Climate Solutions. We are a clean energy nonprofit that works to accelerate practical and profitable solutions to global warming. And for more than 15 years, we have been working to implement policies that demonstrate that clean energy and broadly shared economic prosperity go hand in hand. To that end, I'm very pleased to be here today to voice our Climate Solutions' strong support of this resolution to end city investments in the 200 oil, gas, and coal companies with the largest reserves worldwide. The City of Portland has long reflected the bold leadership and thoughtful attention to fair and effective climate solutions that we support. We're excited that the city is taking this important step to align its investments with its values and its commitment to climate action. In passing this resolution, Portland will join over 400 local governments and other institutions and 2,000 individuals, including Leo, across the country in standing up to corporate polluters who would threaten the viability of our planet and the well-being of our children with the message that polluting does not pay. A divestment movement that began just a few years ago has now successfully redirected more than $2 trillion out of fossil fuel interests. The refusal to invest in fossil fuel companies is more than just a political statement. It is sound investment policy. With the health of the planet hanging in the balance, it's hard to imagine a future that allows these companies unfettered access to their oil, coal, and gas reserves. We need to place our investments in the companies that will carry us forward in the 21st century, not stand in the way of our progress. Companies that embrace the clean energy transition and who invest in the health and welfare of their workers and their communities will thrive in the future. We thank 350.org and all of the other organizations that have been working on this issue. We thank you for your climate leadership, and we urge you to adopt this resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Diana Rempe. I'm a community psychologist. I'm a parent, and I'm a resident of North Portland. I also work with people living outside as a street librarian with a very small local nonprofit. I care deeply about climate change, and I see how climate change is already affecting houseless people. And simultaneously, I worry about the kind of world my children are going to live in. To tackle a problem of the magnitude and severity of climate destabilization, we need an all-hands-on-deck approach. This includes every level of government, which means that the City of Portland, Multnomah County, and the State of Oregon should be doing all that they can to prevent climate change. This includes major investments in efficiency, like weatherization and insulating buildings and homes, and divesting the city's investments from fossil fuels. While some people will focus on whether divestment as a tactic will be effective in speeding our transition toward clean energy, it's important to remember two things. That first, as so many of the people here have articulated so well, the money divested from fossil fuel companies will definitely go somewhere else, whether directly in energy efficiency programs, renewables, and other green infrastructure like parks and transit programs, or indirectly via investment in green funds. But second, and as a psychologist, what I want to highlight primarily is the importance of the symbolic significance of divestment as an important first step. Divestment sends a clear message to society that the business model of fossil fuel companies is simply unacceptable. This is a business model which involves extracting and selling a product which leads to climate destabilization and the undermining of societal fabric and infrastructure through resultant climate chaos such as superstorms, droughts, floods, and water and food shortages, the effects of which people, particularly those marginalized, are feeling right now. Divestment sends a clear message that fossil fuel companies do not have the social license to destroy our life-sustaining atmosphere and climate. So I'm grateful to the City Council for taking this resolution on. I believe, as others have said, it's a really important first step. I hope that we will do this and thoughtfully and carefully leverage our reinvestment strategy with a focus on marginalized communities who up until now have seen far less benefit from Portland's existing climate-focused programs. So thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Yep. Anyone else that didn't sign up that would like to speak? If not, then I'd like to call Ms. Cooperman and Mr. Klonowski back up because I've got a couple of questions and there may be others as well. So Jennifer, if you could walk us through sort of how the old policy worked and what would prevent us from selling the remaining securities that we have before they run out the term of those bonds, because people raise that issue. Well, okay, if we're going to change the policy, does that mean we run out the clock on the bonds that we hold, or do we sell them now, and why would we not do that?
There's nothing in the existing investment policy of the city that says that we cannot sell them, but we adopt a buy and hold approach with the investments in the city's portfolio. We cash manage the investments so that they mature at specific times, whether it's a payroll date or a debt service payment on outstanding bonds that the city has. We go through a very intricate process to manage to do the cash management for the city and to take an approach that directs our office to sell those securities is disruptive. And when we were crafting with Commissioner Novick's office the original approach to this issue, we talked about making this as actionable as possible a policy. And it's important to my office that we pay attention to the cash management operations for the city. And that was why we took the approach that we did.
And my second question is related to that, and that is we've now impaneled our socially responsible investment committee.
The permanent committee, yes.
Yeah, so the permanent version of that committee. So how will that work both in portfolio review of the portfolio we have now and in terms of looking at some of these issues like investing in companies that are specifically beneficial as opposed to just not in exacerbating the problem?
So the permanent committee had its first meeting a couple of weeks ago, and they will be meeting monthly to get started and then quarterly after that. And their charge is to take the principles that were adopted by the City Council and using some social and value investing research, take the principles and the research and map that to the allowable investments, the eligible corporate investments that the city can look at, and make a determination and some recommendations back to you about which firms in that eligible list, how they fall on those criteria. The eligible list is relatively small. I think that will be surprising to most people. There are only about 40 or 50 names that fit the criterion that are either in ORS, in state law, or in the investment policy that you adopt. So the committee will be reconciling the principles with the behaviors and of the firms that are on the eligible list. And I've forgotten the second part of your question.
Well, that so they will they can both do portfolio review now and perhaps open some new doors in terms of other types of investment vehicles.
In terms, we're very restricted to by state law as to what we can and cannot do with the city's excess cash. So I would suggest to you that it's not the portfolio is not.